Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences and discusses topics that could be triggering to some. Opinions expressed by guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of this podcast. I am not a therapist or a doctor. All resources, books, and sources mentioned on the podcast can be found linked in the episode notes. Please note, names have been changed in this story for anonymity purposes. If you or someone you love is being abused, please contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. If you or someone you love is struggling with a suicidal crisis or emotional distress, you can contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline 24/7 at 1-800-273-8255. Please note, some of today's episode involves suicidal ideation or thoughts of suicide. Please take care when listening. Thank you.
You think you know me, you don't know me well at all.
Think you know me, you don't know me well.
Here's something else that happened that was so bizarre. The Saturday before Ted died, Patty had her third granddaughter from her first of her daughters. And I said, we better go. We're never going to hear about this. If we don't go, we're going to be in trouble. And Ted was like, I don't want to go. Why are we going? I was like, come on, we have to go. Do you want to live with Patty being ticked off at you? And he was really upset. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And he's like, nothing. And we get to the hospital, and Ted was leaning up against the wall. I was up by the bed to see the baby because Mommy was holding the baby, and Patty was, like, on the other wall. And you could definitely, looking at it hindsight now, like, those two had a fight. No doubt about it. So something was brewing even before this happened.
Before all this happened, we had zero complaints about Kurt. I mean, he was always nice. He would always help Brad out if Brad had questions about, like, Brad started getting into, like, trying to build, like, some furniture because, you know, that's what his dad always did. So then my husband kind of, like, wanted to get into that too, just as, like, a hobby. And he would share that kind of stuff with Kurt. They had somewhat of a friendship, like, because, of course, like, they worked together too, but... Yeah, they would share, like, hunting stuff. Kurt would send him, you know, pictures of, like, what was caught on a trail cam and vice versa during hunting season. And apparently Patty hated that. So, like, we found that out later, but whatever. It's, like, harmless. But we never had any complaints about Kurt. He was always nice to us. We didn't go over to their house. We didn't accept their invites over there because of Patty. You know, when we used to go over there for functions or holidays, it seemed like not only did they have a pretty good marriage, which, you know, people in every marriage have problems, obviously, but it seemed like they also had a really good friendship too. And I think that's important because, you know, Brad and I, aside from our marriage, like, he's my best friend. He's somebody I can laugh with and joke with. And I think that's important. It seemed like that's how Patty and Kurt were as well. Like, they joked around good together. But she would always make sure to say, like, oh, like, he has freedom to do whatever he wants. Like, I don't control this. Like, you know, we work on our finances together. Like, he can do whatever, just as long as he's safe. I don't care. She always seemed like she was very chill about not controlling her husband in any way. Well, I would notice with on the fire department, like, if they all went out to eat after, say, like, a union meeting, or if they ordered lunch in, like, it started going around that it was just known that Kurt wasn't allowed to do that because Patty didn't allow them to spend money on eating out. And in my head, like, this was before everything came out. It was at a time that I knew she was kind of a liar and a manipulator, but I didn't know how bad. And in the back of my mind, I would just kind of like make note, like, huh. So she's telling me, like, she doesn't control stuff, yet it's known around the department that he's not allowed to spend money on things like going out to eat or this or that. It has to go into savings. She really controlled their finances. So it was just like those little things, like, okay, well, she lied. I hate the thought, like we always say, like, what is it that made him do that? Was it that he thought that he, you know, did she call and say, like, hey, you know, Kirk found out about this, like, stay away from my family, like, stay away, blah, blah, blah. Like, was it the thought of him losing her that made him do this? I don't think so. And that's what, like, my mother-in-law, like, said, you know, like, last year, well, hopefully he didn't do this, like, on her account. I personally, like, my opinion on it is that he found out who she was, just like we did, and realized the destruction that, like, both him and her caused, and he allowed himself to be, like, controlled by her. And I think that I feel like he just realized, like, oh my God, I've done this to my family, I've done this for her, and, like, she's a fraud. So I just think he had a rude awakening of her personality and thought, well, my family are never going to forgive me for this. That's my opinion. I don't know. And we'll never know. And that breaks my heart. I just wish he picked up the phone and called somebody. And as far as Kurt finding out, and I don't know if he had correspondence with Ted about it, but my husband's aunt, they told us that Ted would say, well, you know, Patty had told me, like, we need to cut back on the text messages because Kurt's getting suspicious again. And I don't know if Kurt knew that it was my father-in-law on the other end of those text messages or not, but that he was getting suspicious and that she needed to back off texting so much. And then I think about that time that she told me that Kurt kicked her out of her bedroom, out of their bedroom for, I forget how many days it was, days, a week, I don't know. But she wouldn't tell me what happened. She said it wasn't an argument, but that he said he found out about something she was doing and said she's going to go to hell for what she's doing. So I don't know. I don't know what it was. Kurt's pretty nice. And it kind of really surprised me that he would actually insist that she not sleep in their bedroom. So I keep thinking of that, and I'm like, did he know about this for years and just chose to push it aside? I mean, I don't think that's possible. I don't think,
well, he's
like,
still with her.
Or even as a woman, you could do that. Yeah, he's still with her. And you know what? Maybe he's terrified of her, Tiffany. I don't know. I think he knows exactly who she is. He just chooses to try to keep his family together. You know, at this point, if they were to divorce, let's be honest, like, he would lose a lot of his money, like, and probably like half of his pension or whatever to her. Like, I have to think about it in those ways, because those are things that people do think about, even though, like, your happiness shouldn't equal, like, how much money you have. I mean, like, that's my take on it. Like, if I lost everything, I'd rather be happy and poor than the opposite. But people, especially in that generation, don't always think that. So I don't know if, like, that's just what's keeping him there. I don't know if he's trying to keep his kids, like, in a, I don't know if he doesn't want to hurt his kids by taking, like, further action. I don't know. Maybe he just thinks it's easier to stay with her than break up. But I think he knows exactly who she is. And Maybe he's just terrified to leave. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Who knows what... Maybe she's threatened him before with something. I don't know.
Do you worry that you'll run into her?
Sometimes, yes. Yep.
What do you think you would do? Just run the other direction?
Oh, I'll never run.
Wow.
I will turn around and I will walk away. Because for a narcissist, that is the worst thing you could possibly do.
Just ignore them.
Just ignore them.
Mm.
Now I know there's many, many people that would like to have a word with Patty. Many. Because I truly do believe that she has blood on her hands. And she's got to live with what she's created. But I think she's moved on. I truly do. I think that Ted was just a moment in time for her. All the promises that she made to him, she didn't keep one. She didn't keep one. You know, and I think Ted, God rest his soul, had to live with the shame. And I just think, as righteous of a man he was, it just got so much. The shame, the pain, the fear of being alone. He realized what he had done to his family, his son. And, you know, and I'm sure I don't for a moment not believe, you know, things that caused from his job, things from his military career, all played into all of that. And it just, whatever happened that day, happened in a split second.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
After everything came out, it was weird. It was like that the first few days or a week before I knew that there was something else going on. Like the guilt that I felt, I'm like, he was obviously depressed and he could have been like, you know, he obviously had some undiagnosed disorder and oh my God, like we didn't help him. Like we just gave up on him. Like I went from feeling like such guilt to then all this stuff coming out that he participated in. And for a while, for a couple of months, my mindset was, well, Ted, like you're better off gone if you were going to be like that. Like that's so ignorant to be like, but really that's how I felt. Well, if you were going to be that way, and if you could do that to your son, and if you could do that to all of us and your wife, you're better off just gone. That was my mindset at the time. Now, thanks to podcasts like yours and thanks to like reading up on these type of things about how these people adopt their abusers' personalities, I feel like that's kind of what happened because now I grieve, now we grieve for the Ted that used to be. Like he used to be such a gentleman. He used to do anything to help anybody. Family was first. He would have done anything for anybody, and he was very loving. He was like full of life, and that's who we grieve for now. Because even though like Patty opened that door and he chose to walk through it, he didn't know he was getting involved with a psychopath. So he started to adopt a lot of the crap that she would do. You know, question people on like, oh, wait, you said you had this for dinner last night. What do you mean? Like, I thought you had that, like the stupidest things, And it sounded like he just adopted her habits and he started treating Victoria like crap because that's how Patty would treat her and that's how she wanted her to be treated. So Ted started doing it, which isn't an excuse. Like, dude, you're an adult. Like, if you know it's wrong, just don't do it. I just think he got in way over his head, and I don't think he even realized that this was a type of mental abuse that people could put on other people. It's like, I don't want to put it all on Patty because, like, he chose to do that, but it's also, like I said, I just don't think he realized who he was getting involved with and what she was capable of doing. I mean, look, like I said to, you know, I said to Brad, like, so many times, hey, she had me convinced until I got my shit together and realized, like, she wasn't a good person. He didn't come to that realization, I don't think, until very late. And I know that he started telling, like, the really close friends of his that knew of the situation and what was going on, like, he would start telling them, like, she's nuts. I don't think that he knew how to get out of it, though, without blowing the cover off of everything. And, you know, one thing that Ted was is he was very, very prideful. He didn't like to make mistakes. I just don't think he knew how to get out of it. And I think, you know, he definitely knew Brad's, like, stance on cheating. Like, my husband's very against that, obviously, which why everybody should be, but Brad's just very passionate about, like, you don't do that, that's inexcusable. So it kind of breaks my heart, like, at the end I keep thinking, like, I wonder if Ted just thought that he had literally nobody to call, he had no one left, because he took part in kind of helping almost destroy this family. Whenever he definitely could have called, like, Brad would have opened the door with open arms. He just wanted his dad back at that point. But no, I just think he adopted a lot of personalities of Patty, and it got way over his head.
I think had a little bit of, maybe a little bit of narcissist in him, was a very proud, righteous type of man. He had some OCD. He had to be perfect in everything he did. I take that as being the firstborn. He did not like people to see him fail. He did not like people to see him as a failure. He used to tell me all the time that he was Superman. And I said, you're not Superman. He said, yeah, it is. It's underneath my clothes. You can't see it. You know, and I try to remember that's the man I married. That's the man I fell in love with. And that's the man I will love forever. The one that turned into that person that I put in the ground last March 7th, it's not the man I married. I don't know who he was.
Yeah, so after everything happened, we moved Mom into my house, mine and CJ's house, for 4 or 6 months or something like that. You know, I just didn't want her thrown right back into that house, you know, right away by herself. Says we're gonna stand on our feet and take this thing head on. We're gonna be here for each other. We're gonna do this. And that was easier said than done for me too. You know, I'm a human being. You know, but I just wanted to be strong for my mom. And, you know, it was hard. It was really hard. We had some pretty tough times. You know, Mom was telling me some of the last things that he did, you know. My dad and I would stay up, you know, when I lived at the house, we would stay up and play music clips, you know, and play music, like, all the time. And just, like, my dad always had this, like, stupid thing, but he did it since I was a kid. You know, my dad grew up in the 70s and 80s, and you'd hear, like, a big hair band. And every single, it didn't matter if I was 7 years old or 27, he'd turn around and go, who's this? You know, and, like, you know, who sings this? You know, whatever. You know, we always did that. You know, we always listened to music and stuff like that. And we would do that, you know, when I lived at the house, if it was a weekend, we'd stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning, just screwing off doing that. You know, my mom told me a story, you know, right before, you know, maybe the winter of, you know, 17, leading into 2018 when we lost him, you know, he was doing that, listening to music. And she was like, well, I'm going to bed. And she knew what he was doing. You know, my dad and I did that all the time. And she turned and she was like, aren't you missing someone for that? And she said that, you know, he almost started crying. And he said his eyes just kind of welled up, and he just looked at her and just went right back to the laptop and just started, you know, just kept on going, you know, and I broke down, you know, I'm a mess, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just like, I feel like complete crap, you know, and you know, stuff like that. My mom and I were sharing the good times and the real bad. And, you know, the things that she was living with at the house. Again, my dad wasn't physically abusive. It was just a mental beatdown, a constant mental beatdown to the point to where they were roommates, have 10 times better relationship. You know what I mean? Like, he'd be in one room, she'd be in another. He'd be watching one totally separate CTV in one room, she'd be watching another. So we really kind of hashed, I really kind of got where she was coming from, and I feel pretty awful not knowing. She kind of kept that from us kids, of how bad it was with her and him and the things that she was going through. And this is the most bittersweet thing of my life. Losing my dad has been an absolute bomb going off, and we're still a year and a couple months later picking up the pieces of losing him. Things would obviously be better and easier if he was here. We miss him for everything. But if this is what he was going to do, this is how he was going to treat my mom, leave my mom, do whatever. My mom wanted my parents' relationship. She wanted their relationship to work so much. And every single issue, quarrel, fight, good thing, bad thing, she'd tell Patty. It was her best friend. She'd tell her. Patty would be there for her. She would this and that, you know. And it was just walking into the belly of the beast. You know, and I mean, my heart just broke for my mom. But it's bittersweet, and it's sweet in the aspect of my mom now knows everything. My dad's gone, and that's a huge blow. But all the deception's gone too. You know, my mom always had her faith. She wasn't maybe not always practicing or whatever. She really came to her faith in this. You know, I've really tried to pick her up in her faith to help her through this. You know, she had told me, you know, she's like, I kept praying for things to get fixed. And I said, well, you know, Dad made his decisions and stuff. I says, but you got your answer. You know, whether Dad wasn't good for you, Patty was not good for you. I says, you definitely got your answer. I don't know how he did everything. I don't know how everything works, but it's a lot better now, isn't it? Like, you're not walking into some hellhole of a house, not, you know, dealing with my dad, not knowing what kind of guy he was going to be that night, what kind of mood he would be in. You're not telling your quote unquote best friend every walking moment of your life, only knowing that she's using it against you or whatever, you know. I'm like, isn't that like liberating? She's like, you have no idea. She's like, I would apologize to Patty like 10 times a week for stuff that I didn't even know I did. I would just like constantly apologize. And my mom, I mean, that wouldn't fly with me. I certainly wouldn't fly with my wife. My wife, I love her to death. She will tell you to crap in your hat in a heartbeat, you know? So, but my mom was not that way. She's very, you know, passive, very kind of submissive. And well, I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm really sorry. And I told my mom, I'm like, don't you just feel better though? Isn't it so bittersweet? You know, we lost Dad, and it is like, I feel like I've just been gutted. But in a sense, it's like, you know what, man, you made your choices. You and Patty almost single-handedly destroyed this family, and it's all gone now. In a sense, it's horrifying. In another sense, it's so liberating. I thank God for it. It's just a weird, weird situation. It's such a paradox. It's, you know, it's such good and such bad that really got a lot closer to my mom. Obviously, we're very close now, and I felt very ashamed that she was dealing with all that stuff. And I thought she was, if she wasn't aiding in it, she most certainly wasn't doing anything to help, you know. And we've talked to her, and ever since then, she was like, listen, I would try to bring it up, and he would scream and yell and this and that, and I would do things, and I would, you know, and he's like, and he found out that you and I were talking there in the last 6 months. And he told me, like, you're not to talk to him, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's like, that's my son. You ain't going to tell me what I am. And, you know, my mom started to put her big girl pants on there toward the end. She started figuring stuff out, too, you know, a little bit. Not to this magnitude, obviously. But she started to really stand up for herself, kind of like, no, this isn't going to how it's be. And it never was like that. Growing up, it wasn't like that. in my early 20s, it really, really wasn't like that. I mean, it just never, this was not my dad. You know, and that's, and the whole time, like, trying to deal with his funk, like, 5 years of him not talking to myself or my wife, and it's just like, who is this guy? I mean, you literally just took out my dad and put someone else was driving his boat, and it's like, who is Ted? Like, who is he? Like, who is this guy? I don't know him. Like, I don't even know him. Like, and he was not like that to my mom. He was so loving. We were such a close family and fun and all this stuff. And we just like, I don't know, like a blue collar American family, vacations and fun. It was just us, you know? And it's just like, well, you know, he made his decisions. So, I mean, you know, I probably 6 months after I lost my dad, my best friend, you know, like, I can't say that enough. Dealing, you know, 6 months, 8 months after I lost my best friend, I would start telling people, going down this road is not, you know, like, you want to screw around, you want to do this or that, you want to be just, you know, hide something from somebody. Listen, you might get away with it, you might get some instant gratification, whether it's an affair or whatever you're doing, you know, but it's, you have to understand the ripple effect that this is going to cause. You're hurting someone, you know, your destructive decisions has a ripple effect in this life. You are going to affect someone, maybe one person, maybe 100, maybe 1,000, maybe millions. I don't know. I'm just saying the decisions you make are going to have a ripple effect, but also be upfront and be honest with people. I still have that trust, but verify. You would assume that, well, yeah, this person told me, I believe it to be true. I mean, you deal with it. People deal with it at work all the time. Oh, yeah, guess what? I heard this, you know, and this. Are you serious? Yeah, that's crazy. Then you finally hear out down to it. That didn't happen. It happens every day. What's that old game we used to play as kids in grade school? A telephone game? You tell one kid in the class, and it was a game. You know, by the time I got to 30 kids, or through 30 kids, it was so twisted and distorted. You know, and it was supposed to be a fun game. But that's, adults do that crap. You need to verify before you put some serious weight into what people say, especially if it's some people you love. Pick up that phone and, you know, listen, is this what's going on? Is this what's, you know, get to the bottom of it. You settle that. If it's a quarrel or something hurtful or whatever, you better squash that right real quick, or else it's just going to manifest, because you don't know if you're dealing with a Patty, or I'll go as far as a Ted. My own dad made his decisions. He did his things. He did, you know, he was deceptive. You know, the things that he partook in. So that would be the big thing. Don't go down the road of, you know, it sounds obvious and it's not just an affair, but things that are going to hurt other people, you know, and I'll share a little bit. You know, the biggest thing Jesus said was to love God and love others, because it does have ripple effects, sometimes catastrophically. So that would be my advice. So.
Thank you so much. I'm so sorry for everything that you guys have gone through. It's just, it's so heartbreaking. I don't even know what else to say except for I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening to us. Like I said, I'm not, CJ's real big in the podcast thing. And you know, and I, she told me she wanted to do this, and I was like, I just kind of sat there like, really? Like, you really want to peel open our life even more to other people? But, you know, and I thought about it, and I told CJ, I says, you know, if it helps one person, then thank God for it.
Yeah.
Maybe all it needs is to help one person. So if it does, I think that would be a success. So.
Yeah.
This sounds so crazy, but, you know, my father-in-law was one of those people that he cared so much what other people thought. Like, whenever anybody was stopping over, like, the house had to be immaculate. Like, he just, like, he didn't ever want to look bad or, like, look a certain way. Like, he just, you know, he did care about, like, his image, and he cared that they, you know. So it's like, I said to my husband, I can't believe, like, he did that knowing that people would obviously, like, see him and everybody in the city would be over there seeing that, because knowing him, he's so damn prideful. Like, he would never want somebody to see him that way. So for him to do that, that's why I kept saying, like, are you sure this was a suicide? Like, kind of person that he was. Like, and this is going to sound offensive, but it's just how he was. He's like, what a dumbass, you know, like, I can't believe, like, who the hell would do that? Like, what a waste. The thought of suicide with him, like, he just always had that mindset, like, what kind of dumbass would do that? And that's why I'm like, how are we talking about him doing that? Because, I mean, my eyes have been so wide open to that this can happen to anybody. Like, if you're in a low enough place, and like I said, I'm sure mental health had something to do with it. I'm sure he was depressed. And
losing Ted is a huge loss in this family. And in saying that, my children and I and their spouses, we now have a bond that no one will ever come between us. There is no person that will ever become between me and my family ever again. And my son and daughter, show me such inner strength, and I'm so proud of them. To see what they had to see that their dad did, and to still stay strong, I couldn't be a prouder parent. And I thank God every day that he gave me two fantastic children. And they have fantastic spouses.
What the Bishops have been through is incredibly heartbreaking and traumatizing. I am struck by their resilience. They have used this tragedy as a catalyst for healing in their family. It has been an honor to get to know them, and I hope one day to fly to Pennsylvania for a huge group hug. As I've shared previously, my father-in-law, Papa, died a few months ago, right as I was wrapping season 2. Editing season 3 while grieving has been extremely emotional at times, and also very cathartic. The murder of my brother in 2012 taught me what grief felt like, so I could relate to those sentiments when interviewing the Bishops this past summer. However, being able to bond with CJ now, who also lost her father-in-law, has been a really special thing for her and I. I'm really thankful that the Bishops have been brought into my life. It is an extremely difficult thing to do, to be this vulnerable and share the most traumatizing thing that has ever happened to you. I began interviewing CJ this past summer, around 4th of July, many months before my father-in-law had passed away. A few weeks ago, when I was editing footage, I heard the following clip and was blown away.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So fresh. It's like this just happened. A year is nothing. Like 2 years is nothing in the scheme of life when you've lost somebody. Like it's so fresh. It's so real. Like going through holidays the first time, the second time,
oh
the third
God.
Time. It's all new. It's like you're just figuring out how to live a new normal.
Yeah. I know, and it's still so weird. Like, I think, okay, this happened last year. I'm like, oh my God, it feels like it happened 5 years ago. I mean, it just feels like so much time has passed, but it hasn't. And even, like, Victoria lived with us for a few months after all this happened, which was really awesome. Honestly, like, it really helped all of us reconnect. Her and her son got, like, it kind of made up all that missed time that they had, because I know whenever I met Brad, He was a mama's boy. Like, him and his mom were so close. He would tell her everything. And to see, like, the total disconnect the last few years was, like, to think of it now, I'm like, I cannot believe that ever happened. But having her here with us a few months, you know, we all reconnected. It was great. Well, you know, I hosted a lot of holidays and anything. Like, it seemed like kind of that first, I don't want to say whole year, but I hosted a lot of holidays for a long time. Once she moved back to her house, like, she's now hosting things again over at her house. And even being there for holidays, like, I hate to say it, but it's just, I don't hate it, but I'm not used to it. Because all I think about, like, on the 4th of July, I was sitting out on the deck and all I could think about was, like, Ted coming out the back door being like, all right, you know, hey, anybody want a beer? Like, just his old happy-go-lucky self. And I think that that's why I've been in such a funk these last couple weeks, because the 4th of July was here and I just left feeling really sad, and I've been in a funk ever since. But even for me, as not being a daughter of his, I can't imagine how it is for his own family. Like, I'm not used to it, so I know the rest of the family is probably still getting used to it. It's gonna take a while.
Yeah, it takes time. And, like, I mean, my brother has been gone since 2012, and still, like, you know, on Christmas I think about him, or, you know, I think about him every day for sure, but it does become normal, even though it still hurts. And I remember somebody saying that to me when my brother died. They said, I know all day, every day, this is what you think about, but in about 2 or 3 years, you will think about other things, and a day will go by where you don't think about this happening.
And, really?
And it just, it kind of gave me hope.
Because has that happened yet? Like, do you, are you there?
I'm able to, like, after, I think the first 3-4 years were extremely difficult, but mm-hmm. I think now I'm able to be like, I'm so thankful that I had him for the amount of time I did. And despite the complications that he and I had in our relationship, because there were many, I'm just so happy for the good years. Like you said, right. I separate the two. I separate right. the negative and I just celebrate the good, and try and think of, like, traditions or things that made me happy that we did together. And I try to, you know, for example, like, we used to always go to Chinese food around Christmas time. And so now every year my husband and our kids, like, we do that now, you know, and it's just like,
and it's not like a sad event now. No. It's like a fun. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this is like what we do to, like, you know, just honor that this was a fun thing. That was a thing that I loved about this person. And I feel like if he is looking down in some way, it probably, you know, makes him feel happy, and I feel connected to him to be able to, like, do that.
Wow.
Whereas before it was just, you know, that constant feeling of why, or right. I could have done this, I should have done that. I just feel like over time you're able to sort of see things from a more of a bird's eye view versus feeling like you're right in the middle of a pit of fight.
Right.
If that makes sense. It's like a drone view versus, like, a up close and personal view where it's just all you can see is, like, pain and anger. Like, I just felt angry for so long too.
Well, that gives me, like, some hope.
Yeah. It does. Time
like
does
I said,
help.
It's it's weird because it's like, he wasn't my father. Like, I have a father. I have an amazing father. You know, I didn't need another father figure in my life, but, you know, Ted really treated me like one of his kids. And, you know, like I said, he was my buddy for a long time, and I just feel like the guilt every day. I'm just so sad. Like, I'm so sad all the time, and I shouldn't be. And then, you know, I look at Brad, like, I look at him and I'm like, damn, like,
I mean, he was a father to you. He was your father-in-law, and, like, my father-in-law has done more for me in my life than my real father ever did. I will be devastated when he passes someday.
If you think something is wrong, always trust your gut, because your gut is never wrong. If you notice a friend or a loved one who used to be full of life and happiness start pulling away from everyone with no reason shown to you, don't stop trying to help them. Don't stop trying to get in. Don't give up on them. Keep telling them that you're there. Make sure that they know that they always have somebody there if they ever need anything. Just don't give up on them. And if your circle doesn't want the best for you, get a new one, because the people closest in your life should definitely be applauding when good things happen to you. If they're not, question why you have them around.
You think you know me, you don't know me well at all.
Something Was Wrong is written, recorded, edited, and produced by me, Tiffany Reese. Music on the show by the band Glad Rags. You can find them on iTunes, Bandcamp, all over the place. They're also on Instagram, so check them out. I'd like to thank the Bishop family for being so vulnerable and brave. If you want to hang out some more, you can add me on Instagram. I am at LookieBoo, LookieBoo. We also have a hashtag, SomethingWasWrongPod, on Instagram. Also, if you are interested in any of the materials, sources, sponsors mentioned on the podcast, you can check them out under the episode and show notes. Also, we will be having another Q&A episode this season, so start sending your questions in. You can email me, text me, find me on Insta, whatever you want. Thank you so much.
Virtual meditation with Shiloh.
Today
we're working on forgiving ourselves for not knowing the difference between upload and download speeds before getting cable internet.
That's oddly specific.
Repeat after me. I am not my cable internet.
Wait, I don't have cable.
I'm not a bad, if my video calls more like video stalls.
Hey Shiloh, there's something.
I will get AT&T fiber.
And I will switch classes until you do.
Slow upload speeds? You're not a bad person. You just need better internet. With 20 times faster upload speeds, AT&T Fiber delivers a faster internet experience than cable. Get AT&T Fiber with no annual contract. Limited availability in select areas. Call 1-877-ONLY-ATT. Check eligibility at att.com/getfiber based on combined internet 1000 wired up and download capacity versus major cable providers 1 gig service with uploads of 35 megabits per second. Speeds vary, not guaranteed. Restrictions apply.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.